And this is David's testimony, right? David, this is like David was standing right up here, and he was sharing a testimony with you and I, and David would say, I need to tell you guys, the Lord satisfies the longing soul. I've seen it in my own life, and I need to tell you that He fills the hungry soul with goodness, because I've been hungry, and He's filled me with goodness. I've seen it, I've acknowledged it, I've walked in it, and I've experienced the greater levels of my life. This is David's testimony. And I believe that David's hunger, that this hunger he had for the things of the Lord, it was the key to him being filled and filled and filled again, constantly filled with the presence of God. And it sustained him in times of trouble. It promoted him to lead the kingdom of Israel. And that anointing that was on his life because of the time that he spent with the Lord and the depth of the relationship that he cultivated with the Lord, that anointing propelled the kingdom of Israel to the greatest point in its history. It brought them to a period of military conquest, abundance, just prosperity. It allowed David to... You read all the resources that Solomon needed for the temple. It's incredible, the amount of wood and gold and silver and all... Those things were gathered during David's reign, and the anointing that was on David's life to lead the nation of Israel into prosperity, that was the same anointing that was able to bring all those resources to enable Solomon to build the temple, right? That was only possible because of David's hunger. It was only possible because David pressed in and would not stop pressing in. So my question to you guys today, and I'm going to ask this a couple times during this sermon, but how hungry are you? How hungry are you for God's presence? How hungry are you to see a greater manifestation of His presence, His power, and His glory in His life? Because if you have that hunger, you're going to receive. God's going to meet that. He's ready to fill and meet every hungry heart. And we've talked about Moses, as Moses being another man in Scripture that had a heart who was hungry for the things of God. Moses had an incredible task in front of him. Even though he was raised in the Pharaoh's household, he felt totally inadequate to lead the people of Israel, right? And he's taken them from Egypt to Canaan land, and it's through the desert, and it should really be only a period of weeks, perhaps months, to lead millions of people. Moses didn't know it was going to take 40 years, but he still felt totally inadequate to the task. And so he's crying before the Lord. This is after he's met with the Lord on Mount Sinai. This is after he's received the Ten Commandments. But the people started worshiping a golden calf, and Moses is distraught. And so he comes before the Lord and says, Lord, we need you to be with us. We need your presence to be with us. Exodus 33:15, starting at verse 15. Then Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Moses is saying, Lord, we don't want to go without you. We want you with us. We need you with us. How will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth. Moses is saying, if your presence doesn't go with us, we're the same as everyone else. And Lord, we need you. We need you to go with us. So the Lord said to Moses, verse 17, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And then Moses says those words that just usher in just a manifestation of God's goodness into his life. He says, Lord, please show me your glory. Show me your glory. And with those words, those were words born out of a spiritual hunger. Those were words that are born out of Moses having a firm desire in his heart. He wasn't going to leave anything on the table. He was going to receive everything that God had for him. And then God began to reveal himself to Moses' life in a far greater way than Moses had experienced. And Moses had experienced awesome things. We're not going to go through them. We've talked about them. I know this is a little bit of a review. Do you know that in the first 2 months that they were in the... So they came out of Egypt, and in a couple of days, the Red Sea happened, right? This mighty miracle. But in the next 2 months after the Red Sea, they got hungry. And so what happened? Well, manna started coming from heaven. This bread, bread product, closest we can seem it would probably be bread. And then the nation of Israel got tired with the bread, so they said, we need meat. And I can understand that as a guy, be like, well, the bread's good, God, but we really need some meat. And so what do you do? The Lord sent quail. And so they have bread that would come and quail that would come. And then they got thirsty. And this is all within a 2 month period. And the people were so mad at Moses, they said, why did you bring us out in the desert to die? Right? They're not able to look at the miraculous supply of God. And they're like, we're going to die. And they were getting ready to stone Moses. And so Moses cries out to the Lord and says, God, you got to help me. These people are ready to stone me because they think that I've brought them out here to die. And so God gives Moses his instructions, brings him to a rock and says, Moses, strike the rock. He strikes the rock, out comes water. And now the Lord again has miraculously provided for the people of Israel. And so these amazing things have happened just within a two-month period from leaving Egypt. And what happens then is they come to a place at the base of a mountain called Sinai. And we've heard of Mount Sinai, and that was the mountain that Moses ascended to receive the Ten Commandments, the mountain that the Lord revealed himself to Moses. But here we have the start of that event. So they come to the base of Mount Sinai, and the Lord desires to reveal his presence and his powerful, and just a real awesome display of power to the people of Israel. And so he gives them some instructions on how to prepare. And we're just going to read from Exodus 19, starting at verse 16. On the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God, and that they stood at the base of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God thundered his reply. The Lord came down on top of Mount Sinai, and he called Moses to the top of the mountain. And so Moses climbed the mountain. If you're one of the people in the nation of Israel and you're witness to what just happened, what we just described out here, how are you possibly going to be able to deny the reality of God? How are you possibly going to be able to say, well, that's a pretty crazy earthquake. I've never heard a ram's horn in an earthquake before, but I guess it's possible. It's not possible. It was a supernatural display of God's power. And God calls Moses to the mountain and says, Moses, I need you to come up to the mountain. I need to speak with you. I want to reveal myself to you. And so Moses did that. Moses climbed the mountain. Interestingly enough, do you guys know that Moses is 80 years old at this point? And have you seen a picture of Mount Sinai? This is no easy task, right? This is amazing. You know what it shows me again? Moses was hungry. Because this is like not climbing up Thunder Hill. And he's 80 years old, right? It's a mountain. It's like, I don't know how he got up there without like mountain climbing gear. I've friends back in Cranbrook, and they like to go ice climbing and mountain climbing, and they have the ropes and the hooks and the harnesses and whatever. It's not for me, not even in the least. Not interested in anything to do with mountain climbing. But I don't know how Moses got up there, but somehow he got up there, and the Lord met him on the top of the mountain. But even after that experience, so Moses has seen this awesome display of power. God is speaking to him and giving him the Ten Commandments and a bunch of instructions for the tabernacle. And yet Moses is still crying out for more of the Lord. He's still crying out, Lord, show me your glory. I've seen lots. I've seen amazing things, but I want more of you. And so the Lord meets that request. And as we talked about last week in Exodus 33:19, the Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. Why is God focusing on his goodness? Because it's so significant. His goodness is his character and his nature. And Moses has seen God's power. He's seen God's glory. But the Lord says, Moses, I want you to know my goodness. Because my goodness is really who I am. And my goodness is really how I act. And everything I do is motivated out of my goodness and comes out of my goodness. Everything I create comes out of my goodness. Everything that I give to you and bless you with comes out of my goodness. And so you need to know about my goodness, and I need to reveal my goodness to you. Why did Moses need to have a revelation of God's goodness? He needed great faith and great strength to lead the people of Israel. And if he was going to have the strength and the endurance to do that, he needed a firm foundation. He needed to know exactly who God was. He needed to know that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was a good God. He would not change, and he would be with Moses and the nation of Israel on that journey. And if we're going to develop faith for the things that we're facing, you know, we are all on a journey, right? We are all going places. The Lord is calling us to move into various things in our lives, and we're going to need that same faith as Moses. We're going to need that same firm foundation that he had, that undeniable belief, that firm belief that God is a good God and He desires good things for me. He's going to lead me in places. He's going to bring overwhelming goodness into my life. Psalm 145, 8, 9 says, "The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone, and He showers compassion on all His creation." He showers compassion on all His creation. The Lord is good to everyone. He's faithful to His promises. He's not a respecter of persons. He showers His goodness on all His creation. But if we're going to walk in it, we have to believe it first, right? We have to believe He's a good God. And believing it is a choice, right? It's a choice. It's a choice we actually have to make. You know, if you're given a gift and it seems too good to be true, you're not going to receive it until you believe it. And not only believe that it's real, but that it's for you, right? That gift that we talked about last week, my wife gave me a birthday gift. I had to believe it was real, and I had to believe it was for me, right? And the same is with God's goodness. We have to get to the place where we're willing to extend our faith and make a faith choice and say, "Lord, I believe Your goodness, and I believe You want to be good to me. Of all people, You desire to be good to me." Psalm 31:19 says, "How great is the goodness You have stored up for those who fear You. You lavish it on those who have come to You for protection, blessing them before the watching world." I was so encouraged when I read this verse last week, because I have not read this verse in this translation before, and it talks about God's goodness, and He lavishes it on His people, blessing them before the watching world. The world's watching. The world is watching you and I, and God doesn't desire to hold His goodness from any of us, because the world is watching, and it's blessing for a purpose. It's goodness for a purpose. It's goodness that God would be glorified, and that the acts and the mighty goodness of God would be on everyone's mind, that they would have it's called top of mind awareness. People would be thinking about the goodness of God. They'd be speaking about the goodness of God, because they're seeing it manifest in the lives of the people of God, in His children, in the family of God. And the world will take notice. What does Isaiah say? Isaiah says, "Nations will come to your rising and the brightness of your light." The world will notice the glory of God in our lives. Amen? So again, do you want to experience God's glory? Where's your hunger level at for the glory of God? And where's your belief level at? Where's your faith level at? Right? That belief has to come first. And once you believe it, I believe that you will start to hunger for it, and God will meet you in that place of hunger, in that place of desire for more of His presence. Like I said at the start, we're going to have an opportunity to respond to the Lord at the end of this service. And I don't know all that the Lord is going to do, but I'm confident that He's asked us to do this and just open up the front and give an opportunity for you guys to come forward. If you want to make that choice, that, "Lord, I believe that You have good things for me and that You have something that You want to do in my life today." If you have that hunger and you're willing to make that choice, the Lord will meet you in this place and you will experience His glory today. When Kenneth Hagin said those words, "In these days I will visit and am visiting every hungry heart," you know, that wasn't the first time those words had been spoken. That promise was communicated through Scripture, through many prophets and many, many people, that when we're hungry, that when we're pursuing God, He's ready to meet us. He wants to meet every hungry heart. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. Of course, this is the faith chapter, right? And so some call it the Faith Hall of Fame. But the writer of Hebrews, in this chapter 11, he's talking about various people who came to God based on faith. They had faith as their basis for their relationship with the Lord, and the Lord did great things in their lives. And so we're reading about Enoch in verse 5. "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I just said that in a different way. You got to believe it first, and you have to believe it for you. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is saying. You have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I like how the Message translation says that verse. It says, anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. Believe that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. That's the God we serve. He does care enough to respond to those who seek Him. And we have that promise again and again from God's Word. And, you know, just as we were talking about God's goodness, if you want to experience God's goodness, you have to believe it, and that you have to believe it's for you, that He desires to bless you. And that same principle applies to all of God's glory. If you want to experience His power and His presence in your life, we have to get to the place where we're stirred up and we can believe it and say, yes, Lord, I recognize that You have something special for me. And it wasn't just for Your people decades ago or centuries ago or thousands of years ago, but it's for me and it's for us now in this place in 2018 in Swan River, Manitoba. And I believe God is real. His presence is real. But we have to get to the place where I believe it. I'm making up my mind, Lord, You are going to do something today. You do want to speak to me. You do want to minister to me. That's called faith. When you get to that point where you're willing to believe it and stand on it and just get it firm inside, that's faith. And God responds to that faith, and that's how you're going to receive today. You know, as Jesus prepared to go to heaven and be reunited with God the Father, as He prepared to leave this earth in bodily form, He gave some instructions to His disciples. And it was Brad or Fallon that shared this today. But in Luke 24:49, Jesus says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. So there's the promise and there's the fulfillment. Jesus is saying, I will send my Holy Spirit just as the Father promised. Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, stay and stay hungry. Stay expecting. Something's going to happen. I'm going to go, but the promise of the Holy Spirit is coming. So stick around and don't lose hope and don't lose sight of it because it's going to happen. And that's what happened. And so Luke picks up the story in the book of Acts. Luke obviously wrote the book of Luke, but he wrote the book of Acts as well too. And so in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power. This is Jesus talking again. These are the last words of Jesus. And Luke records these words. And Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's the promise again. You will receive power. The Holy Spirit is the promise. And so Jesus is saying, stick around. It's coming. It's real, and it's for you. And it seems about 120 people believed that promise, right? We had the 12. There's the 12 disciples, but the 12 disciples weren't the only disciples of Jesus, right? They're just the ones that we call the 12. But there was more disciples of Jesus. A disciple is just simply one who's a follower. And so there was people who, they were very devoted to Jesus. Mary and Martha, for example, were disciples of Jesus, right? So there's 120 that were gathered together, 120 that believed the promise. And they were hungry. They were hungry for the promise. They had seen the prophecies of old. They had, you know, spent time with Jesus. They had heard Him speak with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so they were ready to receive. And so they were waiting in Jerusalem. It was probably a period of several weeks. And what happened? I believe Fallon read it today. The Holy Spirit came in power and in fire. And, man, they had breakthrough. You said it, Brad. That was a moment of breakthrough. Their hunger and their desire to thirst after the things of the Lord and to believe the promise and to wait in faith for it, that brought just an explosion of the gospel. If you look at the growth of the church from that day of, we call that the day of Pentecost, if you look at the growth curve of the church, I mean, it just accelerated. 3,000 people in the very first day. And after that, every day, hundreds of people. It was just absolutely astronomical from that point on, the growth of the church. It had kind of, you know, been maybe several hundred people that were really disciples or true followers. Many people came to hear, but not everyone believed. But when the Holy Spirit came in power, this was a whole new level of anointing and power that was ushered into the church. And of course, it soon expanded far beyond Jerusalem, far beyond Israel, even far beyond, far beyond the Mediterranean, to the known world at that point, in just a matter of a few years. John the Baptist prophesied about the promise as well. It wasn't just Jesus, it was John the Baptist and the prophets of old. Here's what John the Baptist says in the book of Luke 3:16. John answered and said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And it wasn't just for them, it was for today. But all prophecy is conditional. You guys know that? When you hear a prophecy in your life and someone says, "I have, you know, the Lord has spoken something to me about you," and they share those words of blessing and encouragement in your life, it's conditional. What does that mean? It means it's not going to happen automatically. Everything in God, in God's kingdom, happens by faith. Faith is that currency. So you have to believe that prophetic word, and you have to say, "I choose to believe that. I receive that. Thank you for sharing that with me. Lord, I receive your word and I declare it manifest and real in my life." And when you do that, you've received the word of the Lord and you've set its manifestation into action. You have put yourself on the path to see that prophetic word released in your life. And the same thing happens with the prophecies of old. We're going to read a few of them right here. When John's saying, "I'm baptizing you with water, but the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Sorry, one's going to come and you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's conditional. It's not automatic. It requires our faith to say, "Lord, I believe that and I receive that in my life today." Here's a prophecy from the prophet Joel. This was hundreds of years now before John the Baptist. Joel 2:28. Again, this is a familiar scripture. "After doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." That's the spiritual gifts in action. That is clear manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so we have, you know, we have Jesus and then John the Baptist who came before him, and now we have the prophet Joel hundreds of years before that saying the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to move in power in your life. Ezekiel, another prophet, Ezekiel 37:14, "I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life. I will put my spirit in you and you will come to life, and I will place on you on your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it." The Lord wants to put his spirit in you and bring you to fullness of life. And when the Lord does it, there's no questions. You know he's done it. It's undeniable. "You will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I, the Lord, have done it." Here's another promise, another prophet, Isaiah, Isaiah 44:3, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring." So my question is, how hungry are you? How thirsty are you? Because we have so many precious promises from God's word. "I will pour out water on him who's thirsty and floods on the dry ground." This is not literal water. We're talking about the flood of the Holy Spirit, right? God's sweet presence that comes into your life and floods you with his anointed power and his anointed presence and his anointed goodness, and you're never the same. You're never the same after that moment. And every time we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're never the same. Going back to Ezekiel, this is Ezekiel 11:19. Ezekiel says, and again, this is a prophetic word, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit with them and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." So Ezekiel's prophesying says, here's a prophecy from the Lord. Is your heart hard? Is your heart not sensitive to the things of the Lord? Are you unsure? And when you hear the word of God, is it difficult for you to receive it? I, the Lord, can give you a new heart. I can soften your heart. I can take that heart of stone and I can give you a heart of flesh, a heart that's able to receive everything that I have for you. And so that's my question, is how hungry are you? How thirsty are you? What's the condition of your heart? Are you able to receive? Are you ready to receive? Because God wants to do something today. The Message Bible says, "I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you." If you need a new heart today, if you need a refreshing of God's Spirit today, perhaps you've been already baptized with the Holy Spirit and he's come and you have that life and you have that power within you, you have to go back to the well because we leak, right? This is something that I remember Doug sharing with us just really clearly in the way he can several years ago. We got to keep on going back because we leak. We're leaky vessels, right? We have to stay. It's not a one-time filling. We need to stay filled again and again in God's presence and stay topped out, because eventually, if we're not going back to the well, we dry up. And so God is saying, are you a dry and empty place? How thirsty are you? How much do you want God's presence in your life? He's ready to do it. He's promised it again and again through his word. He's just talked to so many people, recorded in the Bible, so many prophets of old, just heard clearly that in the last days, God is going to pour out his spirit. It's here. It's ready for the taking, but we have to believe it. We have to believe that it's real, and we have to believe that it's for us. And I believe that today, if you're able to make that choice, if you want to make that choice, God will meet you in this place. You might be thinking, well, okay, I can read the Bible and I can see those stories, I read those prophecies, but is it really for today? You know, maybe there was just something special about, you know, that time that Jesus was on earth and they just had lots of ooey gooey feelings, and there was just something really unique about that time, but you're not really sure if it's for today. I want to share a testimony with you guys, because I've experienced just times in worship, for example, in my life, in this church, in other churches or conferences or events I've been at. I've just experienced so many times where there's an undeniable, just an absolutely undeniable presence of the Lord. I've heard the Lord speak things to me, just speak into my mind and just bring healing and wholeness in areas where I needed it, bring victory in areas where I've heard it. I've experienced that. But I want to share a testimony, and it's, don't play it yet, guys, but this is a video testimony, an event that happened with a worship artist called Jason Upton. I actually got a chance to hear Jason minister in worship in 2009. So we were living in Medicine Hat at the time, and there was a conference called the Pursuit Conference, and Jason Upton was one of the leaders, worship leaders, that had been invited to minister at the Pursuit Conference. And so he plays the keyboard, and so my antennas were kind of up at that point, because I play the keyboard as well too. And so most worship leaders typically lead nowadays from a guitar. That's the most common. And so this guy was leading from a keyboard, and so I thought, well, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to play close attention. I was actually part of the media team for that particular event, and so I got to be there and take the whole thing in. And I was just so blessed by watching Jason minister. I mean, the moment he went up there with a band, and the moment he just started playing, I mean, you're done. It's just the presence of God fell in that room and moved in mighty ways, and he might have ministered for an hour and a half. I don't remember how long it was, but it was powerful. And I remember even at that time, as I was able to experience his ministry, it brought me to a whole nother level in my walk with the Lord, because there were some things that happened in that moment as I worshiped along with him and experienced the presence of God in that room. I remember the very next Sunday when I led worship at Bridge Church in Medicine Hat, it was different for me. It was way different for me. There was a whole nother level of anointing and freedom that I had in my life from being a part of that. So anyway, coming back to this testimony then, what this testimony is, it's actually not Jason speaking. It's a member of his team, and this particular gentleman, I believe, was a sound technician at an event where Jason Upton was ministering. And so he wasn't part of the band per se, but he was part of the team that traveled with Jason Upton. And he's just giving a testimony of what happened at this particular worship event. So let's go ahead and play that video, guys, and I'll come up after.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll move on. What is, for you, what is the most spiritual experience you've had while either listening or performing? Either being a part of a team, performing, or listening to music. Tell me a spiritual encounter you had in a nutshell. Go ahead, Michael.
Undoubtedly. We were in Alexandria, Louisiana. It was when I was with Jason Upton. And we went into this college auditorium, and I basically just put the recorder on and let it go. And we were doing sound check, and I looked up to the ceiling, and I started seeing this fog coming through, and I figured it was just like the you know, the condenser and the air conditioner and the coil or something. This fog starts coming in the room, and I started feeling a whole lot of God all of a sudden, but I really didn't put two and two together. I'm a little slow on the uptake sometime, and so I asked the janitor, I said, "Hey, what's that stuff coming out of the ceiling up there?" And he looked up there and he said, "I don't know, there's no pipes up there." And so this holy fear kind of came over me, and meanwhile, there's all these youth guys in there, and they're real stoic, and they got their arms crossed, and everything's kind of like, "Let's see what you got, young man." You know, one of those things. So we finished, and we just started playing, and it got to the point where it got so thick in there that I jumped off stage, and I went and jumped under the soundboard. I mean, I felt so much God, I was like, "Oh my God, at any minute, something's just going to bust through." And all of a sudden, this little kid comes under the soundboard, and he goes, "There's a 12-foot angel standing behind Jason Upton." And you know what? I know I wasn't singing because I wasn't up there. William wasn't singing. Jason's singing, but there's two and three-part harmonies going on in the room. And I'm going, "What in the world?" And I'm looking on the hard drive recorder, and it's recording it. And I'm thinking, if this is on here when I play this back, I'm going to come out of my skin. So all of a sudden, all this stuff happens. All these guys that were like, yeah, they're, "Daddy, Daddy, oh God," you know. And Jason, I look at Jason, and he's up on stage, and his eyes are rolled back in his head, and he's teetering on his piano bench. I thought, "Oh my God, he's drunk." Well, I thought that was something that he did all the time. And he starts saying, "Ah, da, da, da." I thought, he's completely lost it. So all this stuff's going on, right? And it's happening in real time, so you're not even catching all of what's happening. And then after the meeting, I went up to, because we were rooming together, I went up to get Jason off the stage. He was completely plastered. But he'd never been drunk in the spirit before, so he said, "I'm feeling all tingly. My arms and, Michael, my legs," and make a long story short, he fell asleep in the dorm exactly like a drunk guy would. He just lay down on the bed with all his clothes on in his bag, and he was gone. So the next morning, I'm thinking, was that real? I went back to Nashville. And I'm in there with this engineer friend. I was producing the project and sitting on there. We're going through all the material. We get to the song "Fly." And all of a sudden, I said, "Well, any minute now, if that was really an angel," and all of a sudden, there's this perfect voice that comes flying. I went, "Whoa!" And I said, "We got to find that." And the engineer goes, he goes, "Oh, that's just a psychoacoustic anomaly. That's probably a tom-tom ring or something." And so I thought, "Oh, yeah, well, let's find it then." So we start going through, we start soloing out each channel, not a tom-tom, not a keyboard, blah, blah, blah. We get through everything except Jason's vocal. Now remember, the kid said there's a 12-foot angel behind Jason. So we solo Jason's vocal track, and there's two waveforms on there, one little one and one big, big one. And you can see it, and not only that, but you can hear it, and the guy goes, "Well, that sounds like something standing like 12 foot behind Jason." I said, "I told you it was an angel." And so literally on that, when that part hits, it doesn't matter. I mean, you get hammered every time. So here's where it got really crazy. So all of a sudden, we start getting emails from Heidi Baker's group up there. Unbeknownst to us, when Jason's going, "Ah, da, da, ah," it's Malawi for "Come to the Table." So we think he's just this drunken guy in a stupor, and he's actually, so they play it when the orphans are out to play, to call him to lunch, they play, "Ah, da, da," and all the little kids come running in.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll move.
Thanks, guys. God's presence is real. He desires to do those things in our midst. And it's for a purpose. You need to know it's not for show. When God's presence comes, it's for a purpose. It's to do something in your life that you couldn't do yourself, to make a change that you can't manufacture.
Let's give it to him.
It's glory with a purpose. Thank you, Lord. So what are you hungry for? What are you thirsting after? What is your faith being stirred for in your life? Right? We talked about maybe you're in a dry place. Maybe you need to get filled up again. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit before. Just turn that down a bit, guys. God's ready to do it in your life. Maybe you're needing healing in your body. Maybe you're needing healing in a relationship. Maybe there's just a wholeness in an area of your life. Deliverance from addiction, something you have not been able to shake off through willpower. Maybe it's an emotional healing rather than a physical healing. I believe that if you're hungry today and you're willing to make that choice, that God can meet with you. He will meet with you. He's ready to meet every hungry heart. And so, in just a couple moments, I'm going to invite you guys to come up, and I'm going to respond as well. I'm going to have an altar call, and I'll be the first one to respond. Right? And you might be thinking, wow, we don't do this a whole lot at Solid Rock. We don't come to the front. That's out of my comfort zone. Well, welcome to the club. It's out of my comfort zone, too. So we can do it together if you want. But as I was preparing to speak yesterday, I know that a lot of what we've talked about today, it's pretty much the same thing that we talked about last week and the week before. It's been a lot of just the Lord saying the same thing again. But if the Lord's speaking it, I'm not going to shake it off. We're going to be obedient. And so He's asked us to do this. And so we have an opportunity right now just to respond to what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Just to let Him speak and let Him minister. We're not going to manufacture anything. We're not going to make anything happen. We're just going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and see what He does. I'm going to ask the guys to fade this track out. We're going to play that song, Fly. I don't want you to focus so much on the song, but I was listening to it yesterday. I've heard it before. It wasn't the first time I've heard it. But there is an anointing on this song for breakthrough like few other I've ever experienced in my life. And so if you're hungry and you're needing breakthrough, like Brad talked about, I just invite you to come respond, and we'll let the Holy Spirit minister and do His work. So go ahead and play that song, guys, and turn it up so we can hear it. This is just Jason Upton just on his instrument ministering prophetically, and I believe that we have an opportunity today just to experience God's presence in a new way. So let's do that together.